Greenland. If you've ever done a pub quiz before, you can probably tell me that it belongs to Denmark. If you're really good at the flags round in a pub quiz, then you'll know that it's got one of the coolest flags. It's kind of like a modernist yin and yang symbol. Go check it out. And you can probably tell me that it is not overly green, but in fact, covered with ice. But what is unlikely to come up at that pub quiz is that Greenland is on the move. And by that I mean, it is literally moving. On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are looking at ice sheets, and we're asking, how fast is Greenland moving? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and this is the show where we find the brightest minds at the University of Oxford, and we make them weigh in on, you guessed it, the big questions. And to walk us through how an ice sheet moves, we are headed to the beautiful and historic Trinity College to meet up with Ian Hewitt, a lecturer in the Mathematical Institute at Oxford. So, to understand how fast Greenland is moving in the present day, we have to go back in time when scientists started to get curious about glaciers and how they melt and move.
I think it kicked off in Victorian times. In the middle of the 19th century, people started to wonder why the glaciers were moving. And it was mostly in the Alps, where the German and Swiss mountaineers were interested in why the ice was moving. And they started to notice that different bits of the ice moved at different speeds. I think initially they just noticed that the ice looked different from one time to another time, so over the course of a year. But then they started applying science to it. So they started sticking stakes into the ice, and then they could measure how far a stake had moved from one time to another time, and then they could piece together what the velocity of the ice is. And this is how they started measuring it, actually, for quite a long time. This was the main method of determining the speed of the ice.
This method of measuring how ice moved went on for about 100 years or so. Scientists used this machine called a theodolite. It kind of looks like a small scope on top of a tripod. Here in the modern day, you may see like a building surveyor or some people doing roadworks using them on the corner of the street. Back then, Ian says, scientists would go to these glaciers with their theodolites in tow and see how far the stake had shifted.
So initially they were interested in the fact that different glaciers seem to move at different speeds. And one of the first things they noticed was that if you're in a big valley, the bits of ice at the side of the valley don't move as fast as the bits of ice in the middle. And so they were collecting this together, and then they were trying to piece together why the ice was moving. What was the sort of micro mechanics of bits of ice that allows it to move? Well, normally we think that ice is quite a solid substance, an ice cube. You don't imagine it flowing, which is what a glacier does. And that's because of the different pressures. So an ice is made of little crystals, and the crystals have defects. And when they're put under a big pressure, then the defects can move. And then it looks like the ice is flowing, just like the flow of a fluid.
Ice is a fluid. That kind of blows my mind. To me, I think ice as a solid, you know, solid, liquid, and gas. That's where ice fits in. But it's not.
This is actually the case with quite a lot of solids, that over a long time, they creep. And this is because they've got these defects in them. And the defects over time creep through the solid. And if you look at it on a long enough time scale, it looks like the material is flowing. So it is a solid in its state of matter, but it's undergoing this creep behavior, which makes it behave like a fluid. But at the time, they didn't really understand what was going on the small scale. They didn't understand about these defects. So they just saw it moving and it looked like a fluid, but they didn't really understand why. And this was quite puzzling because they also thought this was like a solid, but it seems to be moving. So that then led to a lot of research into why does the ice move, and people did laboratory experiments, and they worked out that the pressure that you exert on the ice affects how fast it moves, and this is just like a normal fluid.
And this whole creep thing is exactly what scientists like Ian are still studying. Although these days they've swapped the theodolites and sticks for GPS sensors and satellites, but the principle is still the same.
The big ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are, the ice is essentially the same as the ice that you see in a glacier in the Alps, but there's much, much more of it. And it's much more inaccessible.
Ian says it's only in the last 50 years or so that research took off looking at Greenland and Antarctica, and that's largely due to climate change. Over the long history of the Earth, the ice sheets on Greenland and Antarctica have grown and shrunk a lot. Ian's work is focused on Greenland to see how those ice sheets are exactly moving.
So Greenland is not very green. It's mostly covered in ice, and it's quite a thick layer of ice. So most of the ice there is about 2 kilometers deep, and it's a huge area. It's something like nearly 2 million square kilometers. That's about 7 times the size of the UK, and it's just covered in this thick layer of ice. And most of that ice is moving pretty slowly, but some of it's actually moving quite fast. And we've started to realize that this is, because there's such a large amount of it, this is quite an important factor in controlling climate.
Ian says keeping track of ice sheet movement is quite a collaborative effort. Scientists from all over the world are going out on expeditions to Greenland and using satellite data from NASA and the European Space Agency. But Ian says what he's most interested in is what's going on underneath the ice.
The ice in Greenland is actually warmer at the bottom than it is on the top. The top is quite cold. But as you go down, the temperature gets warmer, and at the bottom, it's actually melting. So there's water between the ice and the rock that it's sitting on. And that acts like a lubricant. So it's a bit like if you put something in a frying pan, if you put oil underneath it, it can slide around very easily. And the water underneath the ice sheet is allowing the ice to slide over the rock. What I'm looking at is the question of how much water controls the sliding. So if you have more water, how much faster does the ice move?
And a big thing happens to Greenland in the summer. It gets warmer. So the ice on the surface starts melting, and all that water starts flowing into crevasses and goes underneath the ice sheet, adding more lubrication. Ian says that's one of his big questions. As we get more melting, will that water cause the ice to move even faster? But let's back it up. Let's get to our big question for this podcast. How fast is Greenland moving?
In Greenland, it's a whole range of speeds. The slow bits in the middle are moving at about a centimeter per year, pretty slowly. But near the edge, it's moving much faster. It moves in some places at 10 meters per day. This is quite fast for a glacier.
Ian says in some places, if you just stand there for one full day, you can actually see it move. Granted, you need to be quite patient.
Yeah, Greenland basically responds to the temperature of its atmosphere. And the temperature is really controlled by our carbon emissions and other greenhouse gases. The main thing is that the ice that's locked in the ice sheets is not in the sea. So if it leaves the ice sheets, then it's going to go into the sea and it will cause the sea level to change. But there are other factors of Greenland ice sheet which are important. So the way that the water melts from the ice sheet, it goes straight into the ocean. And we think because the water is fresh, not salty, it can have a big impact on the way that the ocean moves. So we need to understand how the meltwater which comes off Greenland goes into the ocean, and then what effect that has on the ocean circulations. This is one of the main reasons for looking at the Greenland ice sheet right now.
And although way more investigation is needed into these ice sheets, Ian says if we aren't careful and ignore limiting carbon emissions, there is a possibility Greenland, as we know it, could vanish.
Greenland's not going to disappear in the immediate future. If all of the ice melted, it would be equivalent to a sea level rise of about 7 meters. But even if we extrapolated the current rates of melting, that would take about 10,000 years for that to happen. So that's not going to happen very quickly. But there is a huge capacity to lose the ice in Greenland.
And I don't know about you, but 10,000 years from now, in the distant future, I would hate for Greenland to only exist as a pub quiz question. This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks for the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons, and additional music for this episode came from Kai Engel. Special thanks to Ian Hewitt for his incredible patience as we tried to find a quiet spot to record this interview. It actually took us like 3 different locations. Please tell your friends about this podcast. You can go to Twitter, tweet us at Oxford Sparks. We are on Facebook, and we've got a website, oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. I'm Emily Elias, and that's the last of this series of the Big Questions podcast. I know, 18 episodes goes by so quickly, doesn't it? So while we take a break and work on a new series, this is the perfect time to go back, catch up on episodes that you've missed, and, you know, write us a review. We always love reviews. Bye for now.